بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Alhamdulillah, we continue our reading of the narrations that we were looking at yesterday. And the next hadith, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, حَدَّثَنَا الْحُمَيْدِي حَدَّثَنَا سُفْيَانَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ أَبِي بَكْرِ ابْنِ عَمْرِ ابْنِ حَزْمِ سَمِعَ أَنَسَ ابْنَ مَالِكٍ يَقُولُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَّبِعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ فَيَرْجِعُ اثْنَانُ وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ وَاحِدٌ يتبعه أهله وماله وعمله فيرجع أهله وماله ويبقى عمله. This hadith is still in the context of death. The previous hadith we were reading yesterday concerned the sakaratul maut, or the pangs or stupors of death. And this hadith is along the same lines, but it's talking about other things that occur around death. And this comes from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and he relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person is carried to his grave, a dead person is followed by three things, two of which return after his burial, and one of which remains with him: his relatives, his property or wealth, and his deeds. Relatives and property go back while his deeds remain with him. If you were to summarize this hadith into one simple phrase, you can't take it with you when you die. That's it. All you can take with you are what you had already sent forward. So the taking with you is really figurative in that you have already sent those things forward for tomorrow. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. Whatever you send forward for tomorrow of goodness, you will find it with Allah Ta'ala. Your wealth and your family go back. And the phenomena is that that wealth gets spent by your heirs, and there's a really good chance that your family moves on and your wife remarries, right? Now, very often a woman who loses her husband is at an age or a stage in her life where she will never remarry. But it's not prohibited for her to remarry. You know, this is a reality. So even in that case, people move on, you know. Think about people who have passed away in our own community 6 months ago. You've been thinking about them lately? Maybe a few if you were really close to them. But most people don't think about them. Not because they have any ill will. It's just the nature of life. People move on and they forget. And they're concerned with their own immediate issues. So all we take forward is what we've already sent forward, which is our righteous actions. And they're only called righteous actions because they are coupled with iman. That's why the Quran is always mentioning iman paired with amal salih. The next hadith, he says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو نُعْمَانَ حَدَّثَنَا حَمَّادِ بْنُ زَيْدِ عَنْ أَيُّوبِ عَنْ نَافِعِ عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا مَاتَ أَحَدُكُمْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ مَقْعَدُهُ غُدْوَةً وَعَشِيَّا إِمَّا النَّارُ وَإِمَّا الْجَنَّةُ فَيُقَالُ هَذَا مَقْعَدُكَ حَتَّى تُبْعَثَ إِلَيْهِ. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you dies, his destination is displayed before him in the forenoon and in the afternoon, either in the hell or in paradise. And it is said to him, this is your place until you are resurrected and sent to it. Now this is one of many narrations which speak about the presentation of your place in Jannah or in hell. Now there's the long hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, and it's probably the most detailed and lengthy hadith describing this entire process from the appearance of the angel of death to the taking of the soul and everything in between up until this point and beyond. And that narration mentions that the person is shown their maq'ad, literally their place of sitting, in Jannah, and they're also shown their place of sitting in the fire if they were to have gone there. So for the believer, they're shown their place in Jannah, in the barzakh, in that intermediary realm. They're shown their place in Jannah, and the hadith of Bara ibn Azib says they're also showed their place in the fire, and it said to them, this is where you would have been. This is where you would have been. And for the disbeliever or the hypocrite, they're shown their place in the fire, and then they're shown their place in Jannah, where they would have been. It is said, this is where you would have been. And so that adds to their great regret, their hasra, when they see what could have been, but they denied. The next hadith, there's another hadith recorded by At-Tabarani that speaks on this a little bit more. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani puts this hadith in his commentary, adding more detail to this. And this is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. It says, مَا مِن نَفْسٍ إِلَّا وَتَنْظُرُ فِي بَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَبَيْتٍ فِي النَّارِ فَيَرَى أَهْلُ النَّارِ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَيُقَالُ لَوْ عَمِلْتُمْ وَيَرَى أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي فِي النَّارِ فَيُقَالُ لَوْ لَا أَنْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. So the same meaning that Ibn Mas'ud transmits this, that the people of Jannah are shown their place in the fire, and it is said that this is where you would have been, and the people of hellfire are shown their place in Jannah, and it said to them, this is where you could have been, right? So, or the hadith says they're shown the people in the hellfire, the people of Jannah are shown their place in the hellfire, and it said, لَوْلَا أَن مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. If it wasn't for Allah blessing you and gracing you, this is where you would have been. And this adds to the joy, because you see where you could have been. So the next hadith, following along these lines, he says, حَدَّثَنِي عَلِي إِبْنُ جَعَدْ أَخْبَرَنَا شُعْبَةً عَنِ الْأَعْمَشِ عَنْ مُجَاهِدٍ عَنْ عَائِشَةً قالت قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا الأموات فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا. Sayyidah Aisha relates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not abuse the dead, for they have reached the result of what they have done. So this is connected, because when people die, one of the important etiquettes is that we do not abuse them. We don't insult them. They've already gone forward. What's the use of insulting them now? What's the point? And the ulama mentioned that this is because if it's a Muslim who has died, then the honor of the Muslim is to be protected in life and after death. That's number one. Number two, they say that by insulting the dead, you are also causing friction with their surviving heirs, their loved ones. And to minimize conflicts with other people, you shouldn't be insulting their loved ones who have passed on. And this is mentioned in another hadith recorded by Imam at-Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet ﷺ explicitly links the reason why we don't insult the dead after they've died. He said, لا تسب الأموات فتؤذو الأحياء. Do not insult the dead, lest you injure or cause offense to the living, meaning their heirs. Now, that's not a universal. Sometimes a person could speak ill of the dead if they were a person of heresy and their influence remains, and you need to warn against something. So it's not an absolute, but that's the general etiquette of the Muslim, that you try to speak well of the dead, and if you can't say something good, then you don't say anything at all. Right now, we have another hadith that speaks on this issue of how we speak about the dead. And this hadith, in it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is said from Sayyidina Anas, marru bi janazatin fa athnaw alayha khayran fa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam wajabat thumma marru bi ukhra fa athnaw alayhi sharra fa qala wajabat. فقال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه ما وجبت؟ قال هذا أثنيتم عليه خيرا فوجبت له الجنة، وهذا أثنيتم عليه شرا فوجبت له النار، أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. So in this hadith, Sayyidina Anas, it mentions that a funeral passed by, and the Muslims, the Sahaba, they praised the person who had died. And the Prophet ﷺ said, it has been made incumbent. He kept it ambiguous. And then another funeral passed by, and some of the Sahaba said not such nice things. And it doesn't say explicitly what they said, but it's as if they didn't have something good to say about the individual. And the Prophet ﷺ says, it has been made incumbent. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he was curious about this. He says, what do you mean? And he said, in this hadith, the one that you praised, Jannah has been made incumbent upon him. And the one you critiqued or you said something bad about, the hellfire has been made incumbent upon him. And then he said, "Antum shuhada'ullahi fil ard." You are the witnesses of God on earth. What that means is when you have a large body of believers who have a common good experience and knowledge of a person as being from Ahlul Iman, Ahlul Taqwa, Ahlul Khair, and they praise that person, that's a testimony to what they were really upon, right? And if a person is commonly known to be a person of fisq and fujur and nifaq and dhulm and these qualities, and people say, well, that's what they were, they're testifying to their reality. Now, this is, of course, general. Now, a person could be a munafiq and no one knows. A person could be concealing something, but we go by the apparent. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he's not prohibiting them from mentioning the evil of the deceased person. So the question is, how do you reconcile this narration with the previous one, which says, do not insult the dead? It is said by their ulama that the prohibition of insulting the dead is when the dead person is not a munafiq or a kafir. Now, they're known to be a mu'min, generally. If the person was an open and flagrant sinner, then it's another issue. They can also be mentioned badly as a deterrent to others. And this is why, if a person commits suicide, for instance, and some other crimes, it's discouraged for the imam to lead their janazah. Doesn't mean they don't get a janazah. It just means that the imam of a community who is held in respect should not be the one to do it. And that's kind of a deterrent. The person who is the imam of the community, the leader, the model, by him staying away from it and not offering it, it becomes a deterrent for others. It doesn't mean that they don't get a janazah. So in a similar way, if the person was a flagrant sinner or a heretic or something, a person could say something not so nice, but it should serve a shar'i purpose. It's not just to backbite them. It's talking about something as a deterrent. As for others, it is not prohibited necessarily to mention some of the bad things that happened or they did if it is a warning to others from adopting their ways. So in this latter case, what you have, you have do not insult the dead, a general statement. Then you have this hadith. If you have a shar'i countenance need to mention some bad quality of the person who passed away, meaning it serves a greater need in the community, in that case you would mention it. But you would not mention it otherwise. So if a person had sins between them and Allah that did not affect the community and he was not known for it, but you knew, there's no benefit in mentioning that person's sins, because we all have sins. But if they were engaged in sins that were beautified and adorned and others may follow him in it, yeah, maybe then you should mention it if it's a deterrent, if you're in a position to say that, if people will listen to you. So there's some fiqh here, and there's a weighing of harms and benefits. But generally, we try to avoid speaking about the dead. And if one is going to speak about the dead outside of this context in a negative way, it would only be for things that are very open in public as a way of clarifying. And ideally, it's done at a later time after people have gone through the grief process and buried him. if one is trying to explain, well, listen, what they did was wrong. You don't want to pour salt on the wound on the day of the janazah when people are in pain, right? So we have to be wise about these things. And the best policy is to avoid it and leave that to people who have a better sense of weighing the harms and the benefits. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.